The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Damn, we just went right into this shit. Oh, I know what happened. Okay, so you guys know, because I'm having problems with Restream, as you can see on the screen, and I hit Control Alt Delete. Alt is my live now button. Totally forgot about
just,
that.
Just do a reset. We'll be back.
The funny thing is, today I was wondering, like, hey, would it be cool if we just, like, kind of like the Warzone, like, you know, have like 30 seconds of us just babbling about bullshit, and then I start the intro? I guess we're doing that now. You know? So, yeah, what's going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown episode 195. I'm your host, Tony Polanco. I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
What up?
And Brian Monjoma.
Yo, 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 people.
All right, man. We got to do some vamping here. I got some technical difficulties. We want to give a shout out to Rogelio, who won the poster. You know?
There we go. So that's you said it to me right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
So yeah, so there's me and Mr. Ono-san, when I got the poster at E3. And then here's our good buddy here who won it. So congratulations, Mr. Rogelio.
Yeah, Rogelio, man. Don't fuck up his name.
Rogelio, sorry.
Rogelio. You know, we got to give a ha, you know. All right, man. So a couple things here. So no Adam action. He's actually in New York right now. You know?
NYC.
NYC. And
he playing the division for real life?
Yeah, he playing it for real right now, you know. Yo, by the way, I'm glad I had the title set up and everything beforehand. Boy, there would have been a disaster. Imagine if it said Mega Man and shit. You only play no Mega Mans.
By the way, if you want to vamp a little bit, can you talk about your experience about having real ramen for the first time?
Oh yeah, well, I don't need to vamp right now, but I will tell you guys about ramen maybe at the end of the show. But I did have it with Gary. Gary's Mr. Swaybe. He was actually in New York. Fucking awesome, man. You know, having Gary here, so it was me, him, Dana, and my man Jeffrey. We went to Barcade, then we hit up this ramen joint. I'll tell you guys about the ramen later. My life has changed right now, son. It's serious.
I'm surprised because, like, I mean, I've told you, hey, man, you got to come. You're like, hey, I don't feel like soup.
Yeah, no, like, but you the thing you is, like, yeah, the thing is, you always recommend sushi. I'm like,
Nah, man, I remember recommend ramen, but you always gave me the same excuse. Oh, that I don't want to have that stupid instant ramen shit.
Ah, see, you didn't do it. You didn't explain it right. You had to go, dude, you want to eat that shit Naruto eats, right? Then you would have got me. You know, because I see Naruto eating these big bowls. I'm like, ooh, what's that? But then I see like these little ass bowls. I'm like, I don't want that shit. You know?
No, they never give you ramen small.
Yeah, no, this was like, I could dive into this shit. That's how big it was, you know?
There's a lot of really good ramen spots in the city.
Actually, Manny, check this out. Fuck it. We're going to vamp. Because here's the thing. Brett's not here tonight, so you know we're going to go by fast tonight. Uh-huh. Apparently, there's a new ramen place, new-ish ramen place, right across the street from Bear Burger. Like, they opened up a couple months ago. On Austin. You know the sushi place you like? It's literally on the same block.
The sushi place that I like?
Yeah, like the one you and Jocelyn used to go to?
There was a sushi place that we used to go to back there?
Isn't there? Right across the street from... You know where Bear Burger is, though,
oh, yeah,
right?
I know where Bear Burger is, yeah.
Right across the street from Five Burros, you know? So, yeah, there's a ramen joint there now, so... And I looked at the...
I think we've been there. Yeah. I think we've been there.
Yeah, and I saw the reviews like, hey, for a new place, this is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was from a couple months ago, so I'm going to try it. Yeah, I just got to make sure I don't get one with so many vegetables. The one I ate was good, but I couldn't eat all of them. Like, I don't know what that is. I'm not going to touch that shit.
To Chris, the one that's near where Nintendo used to be, that's the one that we always used to go to.
Yeah, that's right. It was between 5th and 6th Avenue.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, the one this one I'm going to try because it's literally in Queens. You know, the one we went to was, it's always good stuff. What else? So, yeah, Gary, that was cool. I think he's safely back in England right now. You know?
I wish I could have made it, but, man, end of the month, it's deadline time. So I
deadlines.
Couldn't
get it. Oh, deadline style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now my goal is I need to get a passport so I could one day go to England. I could get drunk with Gary and Brian, you know?
Yeah, man.
That'll be crazy.
Get that passport, man. You can go, you know, maybe one day you go to fucking Japan and check out fucking...
real ramen.
that real ramen, man. The
real ramen, right?
The real shit. Japan.
Here's a fun thing to know about, like, sushi in the United States and Japan. Sushi in Japan does not look the same as sushi looks here. In fact, it's just like how Chinese food has kind of been Americanized.
Yeah.
Sushi has kind of been Americanized too. Like,
That California roll shit, you know?
Yeah, that stuff, you know, where the rice is around, that sort of stuff, that doesn't really exist in Japan. It's only the, what is called sashimi, which is like the piece of fish on top of the
rice, right?
The rice.
Yeah.
That's the way it usually looks over there, not like the weird rolls that we have here.
Yeah, it's been Americanized and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the little place we went to, it was pretty Japanese-y, though. Even the girls like, arigato, all that shit, you know, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, when you walk in, they're like, Amazazen!
Yeah. You know? All right, man, so we're getting good into it. So tonight we're going to do a lot of numbers stuff. Numbers, numbers, numbers. So first, we're going to talk about Switch sales numbers. So apparently, the system sold nearly 20 million units lifetime so far, which is literally 5 times more than I expected it to sell overall. But hey, your boy was wrong. You know, I've said it many times. You know, Chris, you know how it always is on Twitter. Oh, Tony, what do you think about these sales? I'm like, I talked about the sales last year too, bro, when I was wrong. It's like, how many times do I need to acknowledge that I was wrong? You know what I'm saying? It's hilarious.
It never ends.
It never Here's does, man.
I think people think that just because you're wrong about something, you're going to not say, oh, yeah, I was wrong.
Even though I've said it a bunch of times, like, on Twitter, on the podcast.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. I mean, I think it's just the way the culture is outside. Like, nobody likes to be wrong anymore.
Nobody admits that they're wrong anymore? Nah, I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. I think that's what it is, because literally, every time Nintendo sales numbers pop up, somebody's in my feed, oh, Tony, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? I'm like, yeah, I already acknowledged that I was fucking wrong. It's like, how many times do I need to say this? But it is always somebody different. It's never the same person, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's just like they remember that little tidbit and they didn't see the follow-ups. You know what I'm saying?
Or they don't pay attention to the follow-ups. See, now, if you were as blunt with your follow-up, like, you're like, oh, my God, what the fuck is this? Like, if you did one of those things, like, then everybody like, oh, yeah, you know, get stupid.
Fun fact for you guys, nobody ever reads the follow-ups. You know, this is why I'll have weird instances of, like, right now, even tonight, I'm still getting people liking, hey, I'm going to stream Mega Man. I'm like, why aren't you liking the part where I linked you to the Mega Man stream? It makes no sense, you know? Or, another one of my favorites, hey, I'm going to go check out Infinity War. Why are you liking that more than my thoughts on Infinity War that I tweeted 2 hours afterwards?
You want to know something? Those aren't, do you usually connect those things together?
No.
That's what you should do. If you want somebody to read the follow-up, you probably want to connect it to the original thing. So that when people see that, they'll see the next part of it.
Yeah, but so you
essentially reply to that previous.
Yeah, no,
I'm yeah, essentially reply.
But I noticed even when I do that, it doesn't, like, the original one is always the one that takes the most precedence, which is interesting, you know. But anyway, man, let's get into these numbers, Chris. Let's get these charts, man. What's going on with Nintendo right now?
All right. Well, like you said, they sold pretty well. They beat our expectations. Like, I didn't think they would meet their goal for the end of the fiscal year. What was it, 14 million? I was generous and I said maybe 7 or 8. You know, I didn't think they would get close. But I can admit that. So the main thing is I noticed that, and I think you sent this to me, Go Nintendo immediately started comparing their first 16 months or 5 quarters to Sony in the same period. And then the weird thing of, like, oh, Sony's had 2 Christmas seasons in between this and Nintendo's only had 1. Well, that's Nintendo's fault. I mean, they decided when to release their system. Nobody told them to release it in March or April. Like, why would you release the system a month before your fiscal year ends? Why? Because it probably wasn't ready, you know, and we could see that the Switch was rushed out the door because we still don't have their online. Their online is launching in September at the end of another quarter. So they're not going to have those numbers, which online is very important, as I'm going to show you from Sony's numbers in a minute, that you get revenue. And look at Microsoft. Microsoft generates a ton of revenue, not from system sales, obviously, from Xbox Live subscriptions in their gaming division. So that's a big deal that Nintendo has forsaken for so long, and now they're offering an online service, which we already talked about, which doesn't have a lot to offer, honestly, for any amount of money. At $20 a year, it's not even worth it. For cloud saves, but that's another story. So let me go ahead and share my screen.
Give me the numbers.
You mean you screening?
I'm screening. Can you guys see my screen? And I'll narrate this as I go along because I have to switch between Sony's reports. And Sony, by the way, I have to give them props. Their reports have nice graphs in them already. Nintendo's have looked the same for like 15 years with just basic tables, right? And numbers.
Damn.
Sony has nice little graphs.
Here's something interesting. Were the Nintendo ones the same even when you were working for them?
Yeah. Yeah, they were the same. They look exactly the same. They're in the same format. They take the same template. They don't change. Now, Sony's was the same way up until a few years ago, and then they started to put these nice charts and graphs, as you can see on my screen. This is a Sony current Q1 2018 report, right? Everything's segmented. You can see Gaming Network Services. I'll zoom in. Music, pictures, everything is nice and segmented. It highlights the current time. This is their forecast segment. This is their revenue. You know, all nice and neat. This is PlayStation, right? And everything to do with gaming in Sony, right here. Nice little graph, right? So I'll talk about this later. But I'm just showing you the this is a Nintendo document. There you go. And I have to take this and turn it into something. So yeah, just to compare the two, I just wanted you guys to see that. So going back, Go Nintendo compared the first 16 months to Sony's and made the odd comparison. It's like, okay, so the Switch is doing well. It's done better than we expected, right? I can't take that away from them. That's true. But to sit there and just compare system sales numbers in the same year, you have to look deeper than that, and you have to look at revenue generation in the same period. So that's what I'm going to show you, a bigger picture of what's happening. And I will give due credit to Nintendo and then show you what we're dealing with. So this first graph here is gross profit. So what's gross profit? Sony calls it sales and operating sales and income. And Nintendo calls it gross profit. Gross profit is when you take your gross sales and subtract the cost of those sales, like marketing and all that stuff. When you subtract shipping and marketing and all the stuff you have to pay for to get those sales, right, you get gross profit. So this is what I'm comparing here versus Nintendo and Sony, PlayStation. And you can see, during that period, the blue graph here, I know this doesn't make sense. This is Excel, and I tried to get these colors to match, but they don't. This blue line, the bottom, is Nintendo. And these numbers are in millions of yen. So when I translate them, you know, like you're operating roughly for Nintendo between the low point of 64.7 billion yen to starting the same period of 348.1 billion yen for Sony, right? And you're saying, why are these numbers so divergent, right? Well, I mean, PlayStation, this is year four of PlayStation, as I said. It's looking back to year three. PlayStation launched November of 2013. And this is I'm looking right at the launch of the Switch, right? Nintendo has no online. They have no revenue generation from an online service like Xbox Live. Sony got PlayStation Network and they immediately started generating revenue with subscriptions. So they, along with their great system sales, have a staggering amount of profit from both the subscriptions and the and system sales, which are still very high. So they generate this like really staggering amount of revenue from the game and what they call it, the game and what they call it, game and network services. Excuse me. This is PlayStation, basically. That's what they call it. So I have to compare just this segment of Sony to all of Nintendo. So I just wanted you to see, even at this point in PlayStation's life cycle, they are an order of magnitude bigger in terms of gross profit than Nintendo. So when everybody wants to say, well, the Switch is selling the same amount of systems, but they're not generating nearly as much revenue. They're losing out on revenue. Why? They're trying to make up for it with really ridiculous cost overrun on things like the Pro Controller, the cost of the system bundle. There's really no deals on it. There's never been a bundle of Switch with anything that they cut the price high. I mean, Joy-Cons are overpriced, I think. Even the dock by itself is like $80. So it's a piece of plastic that holds the Switch up, right? So with cost overrun and things like that, that's where their game revenue comes from. And then things like on the side, the NES Classic, the SNES Classic, things like that. But for Sony, they're fantastic. Sales base, they're at 82 million shipped currently right now versus Nintendo's 19.76 million with zero online. So you have to measure those things and those potential subscriptions to PlayStation Network so people can play online. And that's what you have. So interestingly enough, Q3 2017, I'm not sure what happened here, but you can see there's a bump in both of these. Like Sony's revenue, like their gross profit, skyrocketed here. They're at 718 billion yen, and Nintendo skyrocketed too. They went from the last quarter of 78.9 billion yen to 182.58 billion yen, right? And I'd have to go back and find what launched. I mean, you're talking about Q3, you're talking about the end of the holiday. So, I mean, I know for Nintendo, Super Mario Odyssey came out and other stuff. I can only guess this was, I'm trying to think what launched for Sony in the same period.
Didn't they also re-release the NES Classic in September, too? I remember reading that. That helped Nintendo out last quarter, last year.
They did.
Yeah.
But this is a subtle bump compared to this huge spike for Sony.
That's
what I'm trying to figure out what Sony did during holiday 2017.
That's a good question. What did they do, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I mean, we don't have their numbers, obviously, but apparently it looks like the Xbox One X didn't make a dent in any of this shit, you know?
No, I didn't bother pulling their stuff up because their report is very cryptic and Xbox stuff is very hidden. And besides talking about total operating income, they don't mention anything about Xbox, especially not sales numbers or ship numbers.
Wasn't like, NAC 2? Wasn't NAC 2 fall of 2017?
NAC 2?
Hold on.
Real talk, Carlos. I just realized you're not joking. That game did actually come out.
Well, I was joking, but
I thought like it was like saying Half-Life 3. It's like, no, NAC is actually a real... NAC 2 is a real game, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Because Chris was talking about what the hell gave PlayStation such a huge spike, and he's... trying to solve things of what came out during that time, and I'm like, was it NAC 2? Didn't that come out?
Yeah, damn. Yeah. Anyway, Chris, go on, man.
I'm not sure because the graph is a little vague. They compared to the year before. I mean, obviously, it's a huge increase. It's 16.2% increase year over year, and all they attribute to increase in PS4 software sales, including sales through the network. And impact the foreign exchange rates, which is just a vague thing. I'm not going to look at the foreign exchange rates to see how that impacted overseas sales. And this just says increase in sales. So I don't know what exactly it was. Where I can kind of pinpoint the holiday for Nintendo, like the re-release of the NES Classic, Super Mario Odyssey. So software sales drove hardware sales and things like that. For Sony, I don't remember what the hell launched last year that drove their sales like this high. I mean, this is a huge spike, and beat the year before like handily.
Damn. And we know what's coming this year for Sony. You know that spike is coming again.
Right, right. When we look at when we get to Q3 this year, will be very interesting.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that'll
show
up even in the Q2.
Fuck. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you got to quote Richard, man. Very interesting.
Yeah. So we have here operating income. So operating income is when you deduct all your administrative costs and everything from your gross profit. You see how you come out. And this is before taxes, by the way. I mean, including taxes. But two most important values that they show shareholders to make them drool and throw more money at you is you show your gross profit, which they call net sales, and you show your operating income, which is like after administrative costs and everything, our business is profitable, and here is why. So I know the graph is confusing because I tried to use Nintendo Sony's colors, and the graph didn't want to cooperate because Microsoft, maybe they're mad that I didn't look at Xbox.
They're mad. Yeah, they're mad that Xbox didn't sell. That's what happened.
So the blue line is actually Nintendo here on the graph, and this orangey line is Sony. And you can see their operating income, Nintendo's spikes in that same period, Q3, again, the holiday, Odyssey and sales. And then you have the spike for Sony, but their operating income dipped, even though with the record gross profit that they had, their operating income was actually much lower, which they attributed to administering all those sales. So I don't know what that meant. Like, it was pretty vague. It wasn't a clear statement of like, oh, all right, you're not really explaining what it is that caused you to lose so much revenue from that gross profit that your operating income actually dipped so low when you are easily your gross profit was higher than I've seen it. So it was a little weird. This spike for Nintendo, let me explain this. So you see this blue line spikes here. It goes above Sony. So their operating income, huge, huge numbers, right? And then immediately falls right back down to almost where it was in the previous quarter. So why is that? It's because Nintendo doesn't make any fucking sense. They released the NES Classic in a limited run, and it dried up, and that profit spiked. It spiked so hard, it blew away Sony, and it immediately comes back down because people couldn't get their hands on it, and they choked the supply. For whatever reason, maybe they were stockpiling it for another release or whatever. Whatever it is, they didn't handle this well, and it actually hurt their revenues. And then Sony's comes right back up for the holiday. There it goes, like skyrocketing again, because at that point God of War came out and a few other games.
Yeah, so that's right.
System sales shoot up again. So you have that, and so that's pretty interesting. I just want to give those numbers context. So when places like Go Nintendo, whatever, want to just compare sales numbers to sale number system, you can't just do that. You have to look at full context. It's like, how much revenue is this generating for the company? And that is the success that business people hold. We just as gamers, we're just like, it's a pissing contest, right? Oh, sold this much more than you. Really, who gives a shit? Right? And investors don't give a shit. They care about this. This is what they look at. This is what makes them decide to invest more in a company or back out. And so this is important. So what I decided to do, since Go Nintendo did that, I figured it's more fair to look at the first year of system sales profitability, right? So I took the first year of the first five quarters of PlayStation, which started in 2013, by the way. So PS3 launched November 15th in North America, November 15th, 2013. Remember, that's almost 5 years into PlayStation at this point, right? So that's what you have to look at. You have to look at the launch of the system. I know somebody's going to say, but it was a holiday. Again, not Sony's fault that Nintendo wants to just make macaroni salad instead of eating mashed potatoes. Like, that's their choice. You have to compare apples to apples. So you have to look at the first five quarters and see how it did. So I matched up the first five quarters of Sony, which for extra confusion is now a blue line, and Nintendo is this orange line at the bottom. And this is gross profit. Now, I don't know how they did this, and this is back when I think Kasarai or Yoshida said that they didn't even understand this. PS4 comes out of the gate and just skyrockets. Like, their profits shoot up almost, they're almost, this point is almost, I can exaggerate since every other journalist seems to do this. This is almost a trillion yen in gross profit. Let me say that again, one trillion, like astronomical Carl Sagan trillion yen in gross profit for one quarter, right? This is the first official quarter that PS4 is selling. PS3 sales are cut back. The sales of PS3 are tanking, right? And they still have to keep up operating costs for that. And yet PS4 somehow not only makes up that difference, it blows their profits out of the water to like the highest level of the game and network services. So that's amazing. Meanwhile, I want you to notice that curve versus, this is what people think that the Switch did, right? If you look at this blue line, but this is the Switch here, right? And this spike is not because of the Switch. It's because of the NES Classic. Comes back down. So that's what I want to give you context. Like, the Switch is doing well in terms of sales, especially compared to its predecessor, right? The Wii U sold like trash. But in terms of gross profit and revenue generation, the NES Classic was more explosive to Nintendo's revenue growth in 2017 than the Switch was. So I want you to take that in, right? A $60 retro system with 20 games that weren't worth a damn was the reason they did well over the Switch. So just soak that in.
That is crazy, man.
Right? So, and it's amazing. So what I'll show you in the next graph over here is operating income. The first year of operating income of Sony versus Nintendo. So to put this in the context, why their operating income actually dips and Sony looks like they lose money in Q4 is because they did not properly account for the drop in PS3 support. They held on to PS3 too hard and shipped too many units and took an a huge loss on that versus putting their eggs in the basket of PS4. Whereas Nintendo, and you could see that putting their eggs in that basket did help, that Nintendo's operating income just skyrockets. Also, this same graph, this is the NES Classic. This huge pyramid here, this is NES Classic. This is this tremendous like demand and sales of this thing. Whereas Sony didn't let go of PS3 early enough and then start scaling it back. So they took a hit on stocking and still supporting PS3 when the sales just tanked and everybody was going for PS4. So they didn't retool their operations to account for that, and they hurt. And just to compare, like I'm showing you, this giant spike here where they hit 1 trillion, almost, not quite, 979.2 billion yen of record gross profit, they were 8.1 billion yen in the negative in operating income and the same quarter.
Wow.
So not retooling your business and not accounting for that shift in the generation hurt them like tremendously, you know? And then it starts coming back because PS4 is selling like hotcakes, so immediately it starts to pick up and they're at, you know, at Nintendo's level pretty much, like the graph stops here. Now, if I had more time to look, the Switch hasn't been out that long, I could put this graph back up and extend it and then show you the comparison, the current comparison, and then the first 2 years, right, of system life. We'll get to that eventually. And see how they compare. But right now, you go back to just the straight comparison of the same time periods, you see that the PS4 isn't slowing down. As a matter of fact, they readjusted their forecast for how many systems they said they can hit 96 million by the end of this fiscal year.
Damn.
In March, right?
Carlos, what's up, man?
And they're exceeding that rate. Like, you can see their operating income, their gross profit is showing that PS4 sales aren't slowing down. They're actually increasing.
It's like the universe, right? It's expanding just faster and faster, man.
Right. Faster and then
the speed of light.
And, you know? At the same time, Nintendo's sales pace has slowed down, right? So in the holiday, it might pick back up, but Sony's, even outside of a holiday season, hasn't slowed down. We're in the summer, right? There's nothing really out, and yet they posted that they had a sales boost this year over last year.
Damn, man.
Same period. So I don't know. Gods are smiling on them, or something like Zeus, Odin, whatever the fuck.
All of them. All of them.
You know? You know, they sent Kratos to bully them. They fucking smiling on them like they're doing like hotcakes. So this is going to be interesting because by the end of next year, the end of the calendar year 2019, the PS4 will have outsold the Wii lifetime easily. And not only that, they will have caught up to the DS, which is like the best online handheld ever. It was like 122 million. They would have caught the DS. But if they keep PS4 going into 2020, before they launch PS5, probably 2020 holiday, right?
Yeah.
They might catch PS2. So just think about that. Nothing's caught PS2.
Wow, that would be incredible if they actually do that.
Yeah, so that's way out. I'm not going to make that call or that prediction right now. That is way out. Like, I want to see. I think they're on pace to hit.
We're still a couple of precincts away, so we're not going to make a call yet.
Yeah. But as for Nintendo boasting that they could hit 37 million units by the end of the fiscal year this year.
No.
I mean, I'm calling that as, like, no way.
Well, and the crazy thing is, it's just fucking PlayStation 4. That's what's driving everything.
Yeah.
Nintendo has a shitload of stuff that it sells.
Right. Like, but like I said, this revenue spike here, everybody would think, oh, see, the Switch is doing so great. No, this is NES Classic, son. This is a spike. And then as soon as the stock ran out, there it goes. Right? So if you didn't have NES Classic in this and you readjusted this graph, it would just be like a small geometric growth going like that. Right? You just connect these two lines. So
Sony's not getting a boost from Vita, you know.
Sony's not getting a boost from anything.
Yeah, right. Especially now, we're not gonna say why, but especially now.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. So, the thing is, like, this is why you're not gonna get a virtual console because Nintendo probably spiked their revenue again with an N64 Classic somewhere in there. But that's a different story. That's revenue versus them hitting 37 million units shipped by the end of the fiscal year 2018. That's next March. That's the end of next March. And I don't see that happen. They haven't hit 20 million yet. They're around 20 million. And every jurist would say, oh, it's 20 million. No, motherfucker, because they're 480,000 units away. I don't think you know 480,000 people. So don't round up. That's a big number. You know, we're doing big boy math here. So try to be accurate. They have to sell another 17 plus million units by March 31st, 2019. So you tell me how Smash Brothers and whatever, Let's Go Pikachu do that.
And Let's Go Eevee.
Yeah, it's same shit. You know?
Yeah. By the way, Phantom Bash mentioned a good point. It's like, this shit's not even at $199 yet.
Yeah, Chris, I don't know if you took that into account yet. This is still a $299 system. What's going to happen to PS4 once they go down to $199? Man, oh, shit.
Yeah, you'll see the system sales will explode again. It'll get a boost. And I'll pull out all these graphs. Like, so we ended the quarter June 30th, right? And these reports come out. So in September 30th, again, probably around the end of October, if we can pull ourselves away from Red Dead, I will do another one of these and tack on that report, and we'll see how that affects it. And then when we go into January next year, when I get that report, we'll extend it. I'm going to do this every quarter. So you'll see it. You're going to see it. And I guarantee when Sony discounts adds that discount in and plus a bundle, whatever they decide to bundle with, the sales will spike.
Yeah, it's over. Oh my God!
Nintendo never runs a sale. Never.
No, they never do. But again, I have to give props to Brett. He was among the first of us here that said he thinks PS4 is gonna cross 100 million. I didn't think it was gonna happen, but it looks like it is gonna happen. Easily, it's gonna happen now.
I said that too.
Okay, so there you go. Give props to you guys because I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought the PS4 was going to top out at 80 million. Look at the sales now, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they've already topped 80. They've already beat 80 million.
Yeah.
It's like, if you think about it, PlayStation 3 sold 86, 89 million, somewhere around that ballpark. And it had so many things going against it. Considering the fact that Wii was a phenomenon, Xbox 360 was a phenomenon as well. That high price point, everything was kind of against it for, in terms of like compared to other generations for PlayStation. So when this generation launched and people were saying, "Oh, what's going to sell more, PlayStation or Xbox?" I'm like, "It's obviously going to be PlayStation." And it's not even going to be close because PlayStation as a brand is just fucking massive. They've always sold 100 million except one time because pretty much a perfect storm of things happened.
Yeah, they just got close to 100 million.
Yeah, they just got close to it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this goes back to what I was saying, man. Like the brand gamers think of when they think about gaming is the PlayStation. And it's been that way for 20 years. So that's why I believe the PS5, unless there's a big fuck up, is going to continue that trend. That's just what gamers are accustomed to now, you know?
Eat the PlayStation.
Manny, just say it, man. Just say it, man. Just say it. PlayStation. Nintendo? No, play it. PlayStation is in the what?
In the zeitgeist.
Yeah, man. When you think gaming, basically Sony is, I'm going to say the new Nintendo, but you know what I mean. For the last 20 years, they've been what Nintendo used to be back in the day, you know? Nintendo used to be synonymous with gaming. Sony is now synonymous with gaming, you know? Again, barring a fuck up, they're going to keep on going, you know? Anyway, continue, Chris. Anything else on those specific sales charts?
No, other than what we really need to look at is the end of this year, the end of the calendar year, which will really be interesting because it'll have holiday numbers in it to see how Nintendo tracks this holiday, and I'll better be able to say. But I'm going to say it now, they're not going to hit 37 million by the end of the fiscal year. There's no way. And Kimishima made that boast right on his way out the door, like, good luck, new guy. I just set the fucking expectation for you, so good luck to you, you know? So that'd be interesting. I don't know if you want to talk about Capcom.
Yeah, I do, actually. But before we do that, because we do have show notes, just to have a timestamp there. So yeah, PlayStation 4 has sold 82.2 million consoles. And people are already saying that it's already outsold the PS3. It hasn't just yet. GameStop or GameSpot. They haven't done it yet, but they're damn close. They're definitely going to do this year. But again, you know, it's one of these things. Sony's just going to keep going. I think a lot of what's happening this year is, like, not only are the games dope that are now, people are hyped for Spider-Man. They're hyped for a lot of shit that's coming out now. And to, you know, some people, to them, it's the Fortnite machine now. Isn't that something? It's hilarious, man. So,
Fortnite.
Yeah, but yeah, there's not really much to say more about that. Sony's just killing it as always, you know? Yeah, let's get to Capcom because this is interesting. So apparently, because of Monster Hunter and Mega Man and Street Fighter, Capcom has had their most profitable quarter ever. This is insane. Mega Man. See, and it's funny because it's like Capcom was not even releasing Mega Man games for years. Now they start releasing Mega Man games, and these are new Mega Man games. These are old ass Mega Man games. It's helping them, you know, boost their sales. It's fucking crazy. As a matter of fact, I found out that the reason we're getting Mega Man 11, one of the reasons is because the Legacy Collection sold so well. You know, duh, people want Mega Man. You know, anyway, Chris, if you got Capcom, give it to us, man.
Yeah, I'll show you real fast. I don't. No graphs for Capcom. I didn't have time, but this is their financial report here, and I want to show you something that I think before I forgot who it was. Was it JP Morgan who downgraded them and scared away investors?
Oh shit! I forgot I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Right. So these guys are idiots, man. Like all anyone had to do was wait for this report and see like how explosive a quarter this was for them this year than last year. They year over year in net sales increased their net sales by 80%. So you're talking like I'm gonna not exaggerate, but you almost doubled your net sales from last year, right? On Monster Hunter and Mega Man alone, right? And your operating income, their operating income went up 2.5 times, right? That's when you take away all the administrative costs and everything of shipping and digital content and all this other shit. They went up, they 2.5 times the increase of their sales, of their game sales, right? So that's huge. That's like an investor's dream, right? So to downgrade it on the potential that Monster Hunter may not continue to sell insanely well is freaking retarded.
Yes, like stupid.
Just, you know, it's just insane. Like they account for the phenomenal success of Monster Hunter World, gaining popularity, blah, 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 selling, all right, the fastest, one of the fast selling games they put out, also the highest selling game they've ever put out is Monster Hunter. Like, that's insane considering Monster Hunter never usually sells well in the West. So that's crazy. They accounted, here you go, strongly Mega Man Legacy Collection 2. Also maintain robust sales thanks to loyal fan base and strong brand capabilities. In addition, high margin catalog titles steadily increase sales and contribute to improving profitability. Looking ahead to the spread of diverse digital content, the company released Resident Evil 7 Biohazard Cloud version for the Switch in Japan, a streaming title. So that's a little wink wink, people, in case you don't know. We'll see if that comes here. But I had said before that that was one of my predictions for the Switch. They were going to try to do something like this. Cloud streaming it, kind of like PlayStation Now, right? But they only have it in Japan. Now, knowing them, because I don't know what the fuck they're thinking at any one time, they may stay in Japan. They may never come here, which would suck because it seems like they're missing out a great opportunity. I know we have shit infrastructure and internet compared to Japan, but you can make this work, test it in select cities and whatnot, try to bring it over here. I think that would be like, you know, more than worth it. We'll see if they, Capcom kind of let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, right? Man. But yeah, Capcom, you know, they're back at least financially too, it looks like. Just keep giving people what they want, man. Simple as that. You know, and it's interesting because they, years ago, they said that they're going to focus more on releasing older games, older compilations, and they're definitely sticking true to that. But like I was talking to Manny earlier, it's like, to me right now, Capcom is relaying the foundation down, reestablishing trust with the customers. And that's great. They could probably do it for another year or two. But after that, you're going to have to start releasing new games and not just new like sequels. You need to start releasing some new IP soon. What you're doing right now is really good, Capcom, but you're laying, like, the foundation is there. You need to lay something strong on top of it. You know what I'm saying? You can't just like just rest on your laurels forever. How many times can you release Mega Man games? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, or make sequels to Devil May Cry.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. But I mean, the thing is, people want Devil May Cry right now. You know, they've been wanting that.
Yeah, I mean, it's people want it, but I think at some point there's got to be a choke point.
Yeah, no,
eventually,
there is.
People are just going to be like, okay, when's the new shit coming out? I mean, yeah, we got 10 more other games, you know, of these games that you've done before. So now what can new Capcom do other than just take old games and reconjigger them again?
Yeah. And even like this, like people are really hyped for Mega Man 11 and Devil May Cry 5, right? Okay, that's great. What happens when Mega Man 12 comes out and Devil May Cry 6 comes out? Those games are not going to be as hyped as those games, you know? Mm-hmm. So you need new shit in there too. But right now, I can't take anything away from them as far as them reestablishing themselves. They're doing a damn good job. I can name some other Japanese game companies that we used to love from back in the day that aren't doing any of this shit, you know? You know who I'm talking about. I'm not naming names. Not me. man. All right, so we'll move on to some more sales shit. NPDs, man. By the way, what is going on with NPDs now? They're releasing them at weird times of the month. It used to be the second week of the month. Now it's like the first week. Actually, we're in August right now. I'm like, shouldn't we get July NPDs? What the fuck's going on? Anyway, interesting things that came out of this. The major one is that the NES Classic, which we talked about before, actually managed to outsell the PS4, the Xbox One, and Switch in June. You know? Very
now
insane.
You're playing with power.
Now you're playing with power, man. And the thing is, but at the same time, if you really start to think about it, not too surprising. You have a system that's $60. There's not really any games to, you know, play on the big systems in June. The system was obviously in demand. They actually had it in stock this time. So it kind of makes sense. You know what I'm saying? But still kind of interesting. You just read the headline like, wait, what? The fucking retro console outsold the real systems? But hey, you know, more power to Nintendo. You know, I'm pretty sure when we see the graphs for this quarter, you're going to see that big jump up again, you know?
It's you know, here's the thing. It's like, it's like whenever they release those NES classics and stuff, it gives them a little bit of a shock to their system, like a little bit of adrenaline, like, okay, ready to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now that you bring it up, because I forgot about it, Chris, how long can Nintendo actually keep that up? Like, how long can they keep releasing the NES or SNES classic to get that shot in the arm before the shot is no longer effective?
I don't think you can do it too much. Like, it would be like right now they re-released the NES classic, but they're kind of sitting on the shelves. It kind of like that ship has sailed.
Yeah,
the nostalgia train runs out with N64. Like, that's really the last boost they can get. So I'd say you have one more solid boost, and it won't even be as big as NES or SNES for them. Right?
Oh yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah.
They can't keep doing that.
Yeah,
I say one more big shot with N64, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny. I wasn't even considering the N64. I was actually more thinking about how many times can they get away with this with the NES and SNES classics. But like you said, the shit's already shit on store shelves. So maybe the ship has run out on that. You know.
Yeah,
I could buy this shit right now if I wanted to. Because remember, here's the thing, and we talked about this on Throwdown. Psychology plays a big deal in this. It's like people want something they can't get, right? You can get the shit now. That allure is gone, you know?
The thing is, this is the part of marketing. When you start saying stuff like limited or, low quantities or all kinds of those sorts of other things, you immediately... you know, or rare or any of those sorts of things, you immediately, pump your sales because people think, okay, this is the end. You know, this is the end. This is the only time I'm going to get it. That's why, it's like precisely the reason why Disney does that stupid shit. Hey, it's going back into the vault. There's no fucking vault. They're only doing that so that you people, everybody goes out there, holy shit, I better get this before it goes into the vault.
Motherfuckers think it's a real vault and shit.
Yeah, they think there's a real vault. So this is the same sort of thing. It's part of the artificial scarcity sort of thing. It's precisely the same reason why whenever Sony or Xbox or even Nintendo releases one of their special consoles and they say, this is limited or this is only a certain amount, then everybody goes, oh, I want it, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right about that, you know, and that's what's going on now, you know. Now that you can get it, people aren't going crazy anymore. I could buy this shit right the fuck now, you know.
You know, and then you have a lot of people going, hey, well, you know, they should release more of this, we're going to make it, you know, more available. But, you know, if it was readily available, don't you think that people would start buying it less because they would say, oh, okay, there's plenty of them out there. I'll buy it when I get the chance. They want to catch that impulse buy.
Yeah, well, I think that ship has sailed now, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nostalgia and art and that sort of scarcity is so key to bumping your sales.
Yeah. All right, man, let's get into some of the best-selling games of the month. So, number one is Mario Tennis Aces. God of War. I'm actually kind of surprised God of War is still number 2. Damn, people are buying this shit, boy. Oh my god.
Number 3, man. Number 3.
Brian, what's going on here, man?
Of course, the game just keeps selling. Like, I don't know why. Like, even though new consoles will actually support the game will still sell. It's like a weird, like sales thing.
But here's the thing. Selling is one thing. Continuing to do better each month? What the fuck? Grand Theft Auto, man.
But then at the same time, on the one side, there's nothing else out. Like, what came out last month?
Yeah, that's true.
Like the last big thing was God of War. And then since then was E3, and then it's been, like, nada. And plus, GTA 5 has, like, a new update, so hence people are flocking back and buying new copies and all that jazz. And there's even, like, the rumored stuff where if you play some GTA 5 stuff, you get, like, Red Dead 2 stuff, so hence that's just more, like... driving of sales and more viewership to the platform. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible, man. All right, so that was number three, Grand Theft Auto. Number four is The Crew 2. And Far Cry 5, number five is Ubisoft. Again, they make these games that people want to buy, you know?
They just have that way. You know, they've figured out how to effectively turn a game that's like, eh, and then just keep on supporting it and getting that, you know, that one behind it. So it's like they're in it. It just looks like now that they're kind of in it for the long run sort of deal.
Yeah, they got the long game. No pun intended, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Number six is Mario Kart 8. Number seven, Lego Incredibles. Number eight is FIFA. Crash Bandicoot for the Switch, and I believe Xbox as well, and PC. Number 9, mm-hmm. and number 10, Detroit. Man, fuck, I'm going to read the whole list here. Super Mario Odyssey, number 11, still in there. Legend of Zelda, Carlos, number 12, man. That shit is still in there.
Damn.
Rainbow Six Siege, number 13. NBA 2K, number 14. Call of Duty, number 15. Mm-hmm. MLB 18, The Show, 16. Assassin's Creed Origins is still in this bitch. Mm-hmm. You know, 17, Vampire, number 18, Donkey Kong Country, the new one, Tropical Freeze, number 19.
I'm surprised Vampire's in there.
I'm surprised too.
I'm glad for those guys, you know.
Yeah, hey, you know, Manny, you know another thing you should be happy about. There's an actual Xbox exclusive on this list. State of the K 2, number 20.
Look at that.
Yeah, hey, you gotta give it to him, man. You know? Anything else that you guys found interesting from the MPDs in June, besides the Nintendo Switch, the classic thing.
I don't know if you mentioned this, but the total sales or like numbers were over 1.08 billion, which is up 25% from June of last year.
What the fuck?
Huge jump.
No, that's insane. What the fuck are people buying, man?
They're buying it all.
Yeah.
So hardware is up 52%. Accessories up 38%. Where's, I don't know if they put software in this, but
let's see. Where's software?
It says PC and console software down 1%. So it's mostly hardware.
That's crazy.
Like, doing all these fucking crazy numbers.
Yeah, and this thing says that that Fortnite helped contribute to high sales in the accessories category. The fuck are they buying? Fortnite dolls or something? The fuck?
It's freaking crazy, man.
That's wild, man. It's wild.
It's wild.
Let me quickly go over the top games of each platform because, you know, fun.
We got time.
Yeah, yeah. Xbox One, the number one game is The Crew 2. Number two game is Grand Theft Auto 5. Number mm-hmm. three is Far Cry 5. Number four is State... Hold on. Xbox guys, we need to have a conversation right now. Why is your exclusive game number four? What is that about?
Yeah.
You know, PUBG's number five. Okay, that I'm glad it's on the list, but why isn't it higher? You know, FIFA 18, number 6, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege, number 7, Crash Bandicoot, number 8, Call of Duty, number 9, Lego Incredible was number 10. All right, for PlayStation, see, these guys have it right. First two games are exclusives. God of War, number 1, Detroit Become Human, number 2. But, of course, Sony guys still on that bullshit, too. Grand Theft Auto, number 3, you know. FIFA 18, number 4, number 5, The Crew 2. MLB The Show, that's an exclusive, isn't it, Carlos?
Yes.
Yeah, that should be higher, by the way. Come on, Sony guys. Number six.
Maybe people just don't like basketball and baseball that much.
Yeah. Far Cry 5, number 7. Vampire, number 8. Lego Incredible. Oh, shit, Horizon came back to number 10.
Horizon!
That shitty game?
That fucked that game, man.
According to Brett.
Yeah, that game's trash, man. It's a generic-ass open-world game, man.
Well, it's not even open world.
Yeah, it's not open world at all. It's a linear game, man. Nintendo Switch, physical only here. Mario Tennis, number 1. Mario Kart 8, number 2. Mario Kart, Super Mario Odyssey, number 3. Legend of Zelda, number 4. Damn. That game came out on launch day, and it's still in the top 10. The top 5, you know. Donkey Kong, number 5. Lego Incredibles, number 6. Splatoon 2, number 7. Crash Bandicoot, number 8. Number 9, Kirby. Number 10, Hyrule Warriors. And they got 3DS games in here just because, but I'm not reading that shit. It's interesting, man. All right, let's move on here. What are we got on? We got a lot of things to talk about today. I mean, things happened this week.
Before we move on, real quick,
ramen.
Can you guys, without oh shit, I'm fucking hungry now. Yeah, by the way, so can you guys guess what the top selling game is of this year so far?
Oh, is it listed on here?
It is, but I want you guys to guess.
Okay, I already read it because I cheated, so I'm not gonna answer.
Far Cry 5.
Yep.
Yeah, that's easy because Ubisoft, you know? Wasn't Wildlands the best-selling game last year for a long time?
Yeah, it did crazy numbers.
Damn, God of War is the number two best-selling game, though.
I think last year...
Monster Hunter! Number three, man. Yeah, man. Yo, real talk. I hope nobody smacks me right now. Okay, objectively speaking, yes. God of War is the best game of the year so far. But I think, personally, I may go for Monster Hunter, man. Just the sheer amount of fun I've had with that shit, you know, with you guys. It's got to be topping that, you know? That shit immortalized the Carlos scream, man. You know? And we're still going to keep playing. We're going to go back next week for the Behemoth, you know? Anyway, go ahead, man.
Can't stop, won't stop. Number five surprises me. Dragon Ball FighterZ?
Yeah, because no one's talking about that shit.
It's ahead of GTA 5. GTA 5 is always on these top 10 lists, but Dragon Ball FighterZ isn't. But Dragon Ball FighterZ has sold more this year than GTA.
I'm guessing it's one of those, like, people just continuously buy the game. I bought it the other day. It was cheap, you know? Interesting. Yeah. Mario Odyssey's number 10. What the fuck?
Mario Odyssey. Oh, ho, ho.
But Carlos Shaker's are the best-selling games over the last 12 months. Call of Duty right there, number one. Destiny 2? Yeah. What the fuck, man?
Damn.
Come on, son.
Dynasty.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on, man. We got some more shit to cover.
Wait,
what's up, Ryan?
Can I just ask one question?
Yes.
What?
Where are the God of War sales numbers? Like, Sony has just been very quiet on them, like, since before E3. They were very quick to say how it's sold more than they expected, like, recently. And also to mention how much they have generated in revenue, but yet zilch on how much it's actually sold. It's like, first week, hey, 3 million. First month, hey, 5 million. And then zilch.
Cue the bread crickets after that, you know? No, you're right.
Yeah,
I'm just kind of like, look, if you're going to like boast about how much it sold, fine. But then since you stop boasting about it, it either means that it's not selling that many or it's not doing as well as you expect. But then the turnaround has said that it's doing more than what they expected. But then we don't know how much it's that they expected to sell. So hence, I'm just here like, so it sold more than they've expected and they're quick to boast how much it sold at the start. But then... why haven't they said how much it sold now? Like, why is that a big gap right now? Like, what's up with that?
Yeah, and think about like this. Like, let's say they expected the game to sell 6.8 million and it sold 6.7. Hey, it did more than we expected. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, no, that's a good question. And the frustrating thing is we don't have a way to independently verify this shit ourselves, you know?
Oh,
yeah, we had a bet on this.
We do have a bet. We're still waiting on that bet. It's gonna fuck everything up.
Yeah, like, and that's the other side. Like, I want to know how much it sold. Like, give us the numbers, or are we going to have to wait like a year to like find out? Like, oh yeah, God of War sold this many in the first year, and then we have to like try to extrapolate how much it sold like per month and whatnot.
Yeah, Master Shake says it's only been 2 months, but again, why did they stop boasting about it? They were boasting about it like a motherfucker, you know?
Like they were boasting about like, it in the.
Yeah, they like boasted about like the first 3 day sales, then the first month sales, and then zip.
But didn't they talk about it in this latest report? They mentioned this. They're talking about the success of it, but they didn't really get into.
Yeah, they said it's doing better than they expected. And that's I think it's a valid question.
That sounds like some Microsoft PR stuff. It's like, hey, it sold better than we expected, and it has generated this much revenue. It's like, but how much it is sold? Like, we don't really care about that. We want to know how many copies, you know? Like, stop sounding like Microsoft now. Like, one of the reasons why we like Sony is because that they don't do this whole, like, engagement crap. They just say, hey, here's numbers, end of story.
Yes, yeah, interesting.
Again, I will continue to wait until we get sales numbers, because again, I just want to know how much it sold. Like, I want to know the numbers here. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah. The guys in the chat are just like, "I give him time, give him time, give him time."
And they boasted the first 3-day sales. If you boast the first 3-day sales, then you know how much it is selling, and they've not revealed it since. So they know how much it has sold. They just not told us.
They said Joey says that Far Cry 5 is the number one selling game, but you don't see Ubisoft bragging.
Yeah, because Ubisoft are just doing the game. But then at the same time, again, I keep going back to the first month. Like, they were quick to brag how many it sold in 3 days. They were quick to brag how many it sold in a month. And then they went quiet. So they know how much it has sold. They're not telling us. Why aren't they? Like, they are happy to tell us that it has sold more than they have expected, but they're not telling us the numbers. Why is that?
Yeah. To be fair, though, how long are they expected to talk about their numbers for any given game?
Well, if they talk about how much more it has sold than what they expected, then surely they should tell us like how much that is. Or else it just seems like some like PR stuff, like, hey, it sold more than we expected. How much did it sell? We're not going to tell you. We told you how much it sold at the start, but we're not going to tell you now. We just rather boast about how much expected.
And, you know, not because I had
inconsistent.
And I need to know the numbers, and they're not telling me after the first month.
Chris made a bold claim, man. He claimed it was going to be sell 8 million by E3. We haven't gotten those numbers, man. It's fucking up everything, man. You know, my guess is it probably didn't sell 8 million by June. Let's just be real, you know. Although, but it is selling well. It's still on the chart, so it's obviously selling. You know, we just don't know exactly how much it's selling. But, you know, I'm guessing we'll see maybe later. But the thing is, like, again, how long are we expected for them to keep us updated on this game? You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Usually they do like every year, because I remember that they did the same thing for Zero Dawn and Uncharted 4. They came out like a year later and said like, hey, it sold X many in like the first year. So maybe by, was it March? Was it March or was it April?
God of War came out in February. Yeah. February.
Okay, yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah. Oh no! I'm fucked up. I'm March. I'm bad. Okay. Damn. Anyway. I'm an old man. I'm sorry.
Basically, I'm guessing that if they're not going to talk about it now, then the next time that they may talk about it is possibly end of the year, as in the actual year, so December, or maybe by March when they say, "Hey, it sold X many in the first year." But yeah. I think those are the times that we can expect them to say stuff. And if they start boasting sales numbers of Spider-Man, then I'll be the same thing. Like, why aren't you talking about God of War now? Like, I want to know the sales numbers of God of War, not Spider-Man. We didn't have a bet on Spider-Man numbers. We had a bet on God of War numbers. We want to know who won that bet, man.
That's right.
Come on, Sony. Yeah, let us know who won that bet.
Yeah, that's what's really going on. We don't want Sony fucking up our bet, you know? All right, let's move on here. Okay, so more Switch stuff. So the Switch eShop... Now, you know, it's going to let you play free-to-play titles. So, you know, you don't have to pay for the subscription or whatever, you know?
Okay. So what falls under free-to-play? Fortnite,
you know, things like Fortnite, Warframe, you know, basically if you have a Switch and you don't have the subscription and the games are free-to-play, you're good, you know? You're good to go. But obviously, you know, the thing I took away from this is like, okay, and just stick with me here, people. Sony, you know, they don't charge you. Steam doesn't charge you. Nintendo doesn't charge you. Who's the only one that charges you?
Microsoft.
Right? So my question is, just for the sake of consistency, right? Because we heard all this outrage about crossplay, right? Where's the outrage here? And just to get this out of the way, I'm personally not outraged. I don't care about crossplay. I don't care about this. I just find it kind of interesting how the same guys who were beefing about crossplay, right? Quiet as a mouse right now.
You want to know why?
Oh, I know why. I know exactly why.
Again, it's not a big signpost that says that I'm here. It's not literally a giant. We're talking about the difference between a giant flashing sign and a little sign that's sitting on the behind the toilet. You know?
Yeah. And also because these guys can't use that in their console war. You know, I found that very interesting. So my question to you guys is, do you think Microsoft will change their policy now? I don't think they will. They have absolutely no reason to.
No,
you know?
They don't. They're not going to. It's not going to change unless somebody starts complaining about it.
Yeah, which they're not, which I find very interesting.
Because, here's the key point of all of this. It's like most people who have an Xbox, I don't know, I'm thinking most of them pay for it, you know, and they haven't even thought about that sort of thing. I mean, somebody out there, maybe you're listening. Do you own an Xbox, Xbox One X? You know, and did you not know that this, you can't play these free to play games, or what did you, you know? I'd like to see that. I think, to be honest, most people are connected to the Xbox Live, and that's why it hasn't been, you know, or paying for Xbox Live, and that's why it hasn't become an issue.
Hey, Manny, I have an Xbox One. Can I answer that question?
Yeah, you can.
I don't pay for Xbox Live, so I don't care.
No, I mean, but the thing is that's not like, for you, that's not like your main console. Or
nope.
Like
as a matter of fact, I said this in the chat. I'm already thinking about boxing it up. I may even sell this shit. I'm not using it anymore, man. You know?
I mean, here's the thing.
But that's off topic, though. But yeah, so yeah, where is the outrage? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, if it was a big problem sitting right in front of everybody's faces, you know, sure as shit, people would be like, "Oh, why isn't it do this?"
Yeah, how come the Xbox guys? How come they're not going, "Hey, nobody else is paying for this. Why do we have to pay for it?" Nope, mm-hmm. They're perfect. As a matter of fact, some of these guys, I'm not gonna name names. Some of these guys are like, "I'm proud to pay Xbox every month." Okay, man, sure.
Insane.
Oh God, yeah. Brian, what's your take on this, bro?
I think the first thing is, I'm surprised that we have to applaud Nintendo for allowing us to play free-to-play games.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you have to pay to play the free-to-play games. Like, hey, now take that sentence and say it again very slowly to understand what you said. Like, you have to pay to play free-to-play. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So that's
But Brian, you have to for PlayStation, you pay to play for your games. You have to pay for the console, for electricity, and for the internet. Trust me, you're gonna see that kind of stuff.
It's just ridiculous. And in terms of the outrage, I just think that the outrage bubble, like time period has passed, because I think that was back when they talked about it way back then, and I think the reasoning that people just do not get mad is that they seen that they were already paying for Xbox Live, so hence it wasn't a big deal to them, which is still kind of stupid and weird, because then it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's on principle. The principle is you are tied, or like, they have put the free-to-play games behind the paywall, which is stupidity in its utmost. And that, for me, is still just boggles the mind. Like, how? Like, even if Nintendo can do it, like, why can't Microsoft do it? And we all know the reason why, because money. Like, they make the money, so hence they don't have to, and they probably won't, and no one will probably complain about it.
They make the money, and nobody's talking about it, because they don't really know that it's not there. So yeah, because again, most people are probably, just like you said, most people are probably already paying for Xbox Live. So it's just like, all right, they're just looking at the part of it where, oh, well, at least I don't need to pay to buy this game. So, you know.
Yeah, it is just odd. It's very, very odd. I don't know. I think Microsoft just won't change it. They don't give a damn. They're like, you're buying Xbox Live anyway, so that's it. I think it's because I feel like it is very different to the situation of online play and PlayStation. Like, back in PS3, the online play was free, and then they put it behind a paywall. Mm-hmm. And that's why there was the outrage, because they shifted models from, hey, you have, okay, from PS Plus is optional to PS Plus is now mandatory. But hence, mm-hmm. there was that average, as there was a shift in the focus. Whereas I think with Xbox, it's always just been, since the online play is mandatory, the majority of people just get the online play anyway. And hence, when they put the free-to-play games behind the paywall, no one seemed to notice. Because again, they're like, oh, it's already there. So it's already free to them, as they aren't seeing that they're paying for Xbox Live in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's like some Microsoft like sleight of hand, like, hey, you play games behind a paywall, but since you threw the paywall, it doesn't matter to you. Woohoo, you're fine. Yeah. So I think it's just Microsoft just did a very sneaky one, and no one seemed to have noticed.
Yeah, Chris, what's your take on this, man?
Oh, yeah, I agree, man. I just don't see how they can they keep justifying, especially Microsoft now is trying to get in everyone's good graces. This would be something to do. This would be something to think about, like putting it under whatever silver. What the hell was the like? I don't pay for Xbox Live, but I have some functionality.
Yeah, I think it's silver. Yeah.
Yeah. So put Fortnite and all that stuff behind there. Like take the hit on it. Like, I mean, you should, right? Because it looks bad. But if Sony could do this, right? Then yeah, it does look bad.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, quick little side note. Somebody on Twitter hit me up about it. It's like, oh, how do you feel about Nintendo now doing this? He was under the assumption that Sony, you had to pay for free-to-play games, too. I was like, no. Nope. Because he thought Nintendo was the only one doing this.
They're the only one saying they're doing this.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Carlos.
One of the reasons why nobody, Microsoft doesn't do anything is, number one, obviously the fanboys are going to be, just not care about it. And two, people don't really mention this to the higher ups in Microsoft. Like, there's in the industry, there's kind of like a lack of sort of cross examination with these kinds of people. Like the people who, like a lot of the journalists that interview these higher ups, like Phil Spencer and Reggie and all these people that like represent these companies, they get a lot of softballs. They don't really go after them because they're scared of losing their accessibility.
So
the only time that things change is when you have a huge outcry. I hate to mention this, but the mob mentality, a lot of that is a way to just sort of make things change within the industry, because these guys live in an ivory tower and they don't change what they want to do unless the market dictates it for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this also goes back to a conversation you and I have had. The Xbox community itself doesn't really demand more from the company. You know what I mean? It's like they don't get exclusives. They're happy about that. They get a bunch of controllers. They're happy about that shit. They're fine with paying for free-to-play games because they have the honor and privilege of paying for Xbox Live. It's like these guys need to demand this shit, but they're not doing it. They're perfectly happy with everything Microsoft's doing, you know? Oh, yeah, we're not getting Nier Automata. Fuck that game. We don't need that shit. Oh, we're getting Nier. This is fantastic. It's like they shift to whatever the company's doing, you know?
No Man's Sky didn't really exist until it reached the X. I've been seeing a lot of that recently.
Yeah, a lot of dudes are loving this game. And I'm like, that's pretty funny because you guys were shitting on it 2 years ago. Pretty interesting. But yeah, again, it goes back to what we said before. The Xbox fan base, you know, particularly the fanboys, which are the loudest, they do not demand a lot of system. They just go with whatever the company's doing, and that's it. They do not ask them anything. It's just, thank you, Uncle Phil. Thank you, Uncle Phil. It's like, come on, guys, you know? It's interesting to me, man.
Yeah, I mean, they just don't. They feel like being critical of one's own console means that it's not their preference, or they're kind of, backstabbing it in a way. I guess that's the mentality these people have whenever they talk about the consoles. Because it's like people who for example, this country. Like, there's this is the best country in the world, but there's several things I can complain about it.
Yeah, of course.
Just like the freaking consoles you own. It can be your preference. It can be the console you play the most. It can have the games you like to play. But there's plenty of things that these systems and consoles do that are bad or anti-consumer, and you can change that. Because you're the market. Microsoft doesn't have a huge they don't have the market share that Sony does with PlayStation right now. Because PlayStation, there's a tiny uproar about crossplay. What do? They friggin' dust that shirt dirt off their shoulders and they're like, oh, okay, we don't care. Let's just move on to the next topic.
Yeah, and now no one's talking about that. Yeah, Sony was like, hey, listen, man, we got the larger install base anyway. Your friends are playing Fortnite on PlayStation anyway. What the fuck are you complaining about? And that was the end of that, you know? Oh, by the way, quickly before you move on, got to give this dude a shout out. By the way, dude, we said it twice, but I'm going to do it again, man. Techno Fabulous, Call of Duty. What's going on, brother? What's going on? What's going on? All right, anyway, Carlos, continue, man.
So, yeah, like, it. I would think that for Microsoft, it would take even less of an uproar to get things to change over there, because there's not that there's the community is much smaller on Microsoft side than it is on the PlayStation side and even Nintendo side. That
facts,
like they could, you can have like a handful of people, but the thing is that a lot of the people, the most vocal people when it comes to this console are unfortunately the fanboys, and they're not going to criticize their own console.
No, they, again, so, everything Microsoft does is perfect. Everything's perfect. It's like, I hate to use this analogy, but I'm going to do it. And again, I'm not trying to, you know what? I'm not going to do it because everything could be mixed and screwed here. Basically, you know, you want to be patriotic, but being a patriot also means you could criticize shit your country does. So do that with your consoles. Love your console, but criticize it if something needs to be fixed. Don't be nationalist, if you get my meaning, you know? Come on, guys. Fucking crazy. All right, moving on here. This one is fucking nuts. Like, when my editor sent me this, I'm like, what the fuck am I reading right now? Okay, so parents are paying tutors to help their kids get better at Fortnite. I didn't get this from The Onion, by the way. This is real.
Yeah, I've got The Onion.
So apparently, this is crazy, and this is how out of touch I am with the fucking youth. Apparently, if you're bad at Fortnite, it actually hurts your social standing. Like, being good at the game helps you, like, within your little kid's social circle. So they're paying asking their parents to pay these tutors to pay, you know, $20 an hour, I believe, to get better at games, because that's going to help them out with their friends.
Interesting.
Imagine if this was back in the day. Imagine, like, hey, I need to get better at Super Mario Brothers 3. And they had tutors and shit. Listen, you know?
There's words that would be used that I can't use on the show for kids. Can you imagine, Tony, like, how you'd react? You're like, who's this little bitch getting tutored? Why'd you man up? Didn't your balls drop? Like, I'm going to leave it at that.
You know what? You know, back in the day, you know, if something like this did happen, I feel like, you know, other kids would be like, "Ah, oh, look at this kid! He's going to Fortnite school."
Yeah, that's. I just think parents are not doing their kids any favors with this. This is an organic thing. Get good doesn't mean go to another school for gaming. It means like you play and you practice, just like a sport and shit. This isn't like other sports. This isn't like tennis where you need to like learn how to serve or something. Like, this is ridiculous. This is insane.
Yeah, and again, I have to ask the devil's advocate question. Are we just out of touch? Is this something that's just acceptable with the youngers? Brian, please enlighten me, you know?
Oh, sorry, I had the Simpsons meme.
Yeah, it is. No.
Am I out of touch?
Yeah, it's the children that are wrong.
It just raises so many questions. Like, so many like thoughts have gone through my head.
Here's the alternative. Not the alternative, but something that we have dealt with when we were young. There was all those Nintendo hotlines and all those sorts of things back in the day. Where like,
yes, but you can call us. You can call us. Numbers. That was a scam.
That was the scam. But I mean, officially, that was kind of like our equivalent. I mean, you called up the hint line and spent like $20.
Yeah, kind of. If you think about it. By the way, thank you, Technofabulous, for the super chat. Gotta hit you with another Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you're right about that. And the thing is, like, this is the equivalent of like paying for your little kid like to get better at soccer or something. But it's like, but this is Fortnite. This isn't even like, unless they're training to be professionals, and I kind of get it because you're gonna get a return on your investment. But kind of interesting. But I will say this though, because a lot of people haven't brought this up. Remember, like, because some people were saying like, oh, you're gonna leave your kid with some stranger. No. It's over the internet, and the parent is still there with them. You know, it's like they're not separated.
It's not like real soccer practice where it's like, hey, that's the coach.
Yeah. By the way, I like what Barry Burton says. He goes, sounds like these parents need a tutor to be better parents.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know, it's like, you know, you could be spending that money on other stuff, like get your kids better at, I don't know, math or something. Something that actually fucking matters.
Yeah, because you're gonna need fucking math in your life. Fortnite, that shit's gonna be played out by next year. You know, yeah, come on,
and
man.
Then, yeah, like, and then the next thing has to come along. Like, It's such a weird thing that's just that's going on these days. I don't, you know, I don't fully understand it, but you know what? If these guys, if these parents feel like they have to do this sort of stuff, that it somehow it'll affect their social, like their kids' social standing, I guess they feel it's necessary, which is odd to me. Like, I never, just because I wasn't good at a game, like, my mom didn't, you know, my mom, I'm sure everybody else's mothers or dads didn't give a shit. They're just like, all right, cool. You know,
my mom would have slapped the shit out of me if I asked for this. I'm just saying.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, like, hey, you know, like, I mean, but then again, I'm thinking about like the, you know, the user hotlines. Like, I did, you know, me and Adam did ask our parents to call these things.
No, but you
once in a while, this, but
this doesn't help with anything. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm worried for the next generation of fucking kids, man, because you build social interactions by playing the kids who are for you. All right, you get back online, you fall down, you get back up. You yeah. play another match, you get you figure out how to get good, you get tips from things. You can watch YouTubers for free, play the mm-hmm. shit.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to say that. You just watch YouTubers and get free, man. You get better. It's like,
instead, you're blowing your parents' money on like, because Bobby and Timmy made fun of me because I can't play Fortnite. Well, Bobby and Timmy are assholes.
Yeah, Bobby and Timmy should try to get you, help you to get better.
Yeah, why don't you ask them, you know?
Leaving yeah. your ass on in the field.
Yeah, and stop this nonsense, because it's like, why are you spending money on that? And then, like, then what are you going to do? Yell at their teacher when they're, like, failing fucking, like, world history and they can't find the capital of the state they live in? You're like, well, mm-hmm. Timmy has to learn how to play Fortnite, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to Fortnite training.
This is insane. I don't get it, man.
I mean, and then it's like, okay, you know, I also like to know, you know, this is just in general. I'd like to know the demographic that is doing this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I have a, forgive me if I'm going to say something that's kind of racist. Are any minorities participating in this? Because this seems like it's probably a bunch of white parents. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Like exactly what's going to happen. Like, if any, like, minority kids, like, ask for this, like, their parents grabbing a shoe, a belt, a wooden stick, the first yeah. thing they left.
That's what I'm saying. When I was
exactly what's happening next.
Yeah, like I said a couple minutes ago, if I would have asked my mom this, she would have beat the shit out of me. You know, yeah, Dominicans' what? Moms don't
how
play.
How much does it weigh? How much does how this much? Shit cost? Yeah.
Oh, forget
my mom would
it.
Have said boy, and then the next words,
yeah.
yeah, the next words would have just been thwack.
Exactly.
It wouldn't be worse.
I just had to throw it out there, because when I was reading this, I couldn't put that into my report. I'm like, how many of these parents are white? Because I'm pretty sure it's 100% of them. Oh my God. You know, not this, you know, please, no offense to our white listeners, but you guys know I'm right. You guys know I'm right. Come on. You know, same dudes that go swimming with sharks and shit. It's like, all right, let me stop it right now. Let me stop.
Why do you want to swim some sharks?
Like, and meanwhile, we're like, no, I'm not even getting near the water, man. Fuck no, that. Man. You know,
jellyfish in the water. Fuck that shit. Yeah.
I'm like, why are you messing with sharks, man? Like, I don't even, like, mess with squirrels that are outside, bro. Fuck that. I don't know that dog, man. Anyway, yeah.
This
shit is crazy, man.
Yeah, there's just so many things to questions. Like, first of all,
thank you for the Technofabulous says he's white, but he's a hell no to this shit.
It sounds like a Ponzi scheme. Like, it also just sounds like a weird Ponzi scheme, because how do you, like, can you get certified as, like, someone that's good at Fortnite? And if so, then how do you do that? Like, they look like you're at your hours played? Do they look at your stats? Do they look at what? Like,
no, because here in America, dude, like, you could peddle anything. And I agreed with Tony. It's like, hey, if they're willing to spend the money, you know, you're willing to make a business. But I don't know. It's Carlos could start up a Halo school if you wanted to. It's like, what are the qualifications? You don't need a degree or anything.
Yeah. By the way, Hussein says that he swims with sharks. Don't tell us about your dating life, man. Oh man, no, you're right about that. It's like, but here's the thing. Go on that same subject. I don't begrudge these guys making money off this shit. If you got some gullible ass parents willing to give you money for this shit, make your cash. Make your cash.
Yeah, I don't. Here's the thing. It's like, yeah, like, you know, it's, you would think that a person, you know, an adult would have would be able to see beyond this thing, but apparently they don't, and they just let this sort of stuff go. It's like, it obviously sounds like a fucking scam.
Yeah, it is, but it's just interesting to think about it. And one of the first things that came to my head was actually the other side of this, because I know that Tony has seen this because he tweeted this out. There was an article in a newspaper called, I think, called The Sun over here, and it had like some bullshit about how Fortnite gave this guy anxiety, or like playing Fortnite made this guy feel ill or have suicidal tendencies. And of course, that's when you get the mob of people that come in and say, oh, video games are bad, da 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 da. So it's just interesting to see how we have a contrast of there's some parents who think that video games are bad, should be banned, etc., etc. And on the other side, let's all be real and honest here, we have some parents who want to support the kids to play video games. So hence, we have both sides of the argument of parents who hate video games and parents who love their kids playing video games. So I do think that it is nice that parents are letting the kids play more video games and being responsible about that.
But it's for the wrong reasons. It's not that they like their kids playing video games. It's that they don't want their kids to be socially ostracized. Right?
Yeah.
So it's a very bad point. It seems like the right sentiment for the wrong reason.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm just trying to like say that there's like a weird contrast of like parents who say, oh, kids should be doing this, kids should be doing that. Whereas like some parents are like, yeah, my kid's doing it. And boom, I am like paying for him to get better. So it's kind of like there's both sides of the parents' coin, but yet they don't seem to want to talk to each other, which is quite weird, which is always the case. Like whenever there's like opposite people on opposite sides of an argument, they never want to talk together. They also just want to shout and demonize each other. But yeah, I just found that quite interesting, and it's an interesting world we live in. Like whatever happened to get good? Like,
yeah,
what
right. Happened to that? No, that's like, bad now. That's ableist, apparently. Remember, we're not gonna get into that right now. we're not gonna get into that. God.
But no, it's.
What happened? I mean, he's like, I don't know. I don't understand what with the mentality of a lot of this, where it's like, you know, back when we were playing games back, you know, in the day, it's like, you know, you couldn't get past one episode, one part of, you know, one level of Mario, and you just kept on doing it and doing it and doing it, and until you got, you know, got it right.
Yeah.
You know what is it? First you don't succeed, try again.
Nah, that mantra doesn't exist anymore. Now it's if at first you don't succeed, pay somebody to, you know, do it for you or something, you know?
No, I mean, to be honest, and this is always with me, it's like, I don't want the crutch. I never want to have that sort of crutch. I want to continue to bash my head against the wall until I get this shit right.
Well, I don't see also how someone can teach you how to have good, like, twitch reflexes and stuff like that. Like, how do you teach that?
I don't think here's the thing, and therein lies the scam of it all. Not everybody has the same sort of reflexes to do these sorts of things. Not everybody has, you know, and not everybody is that great. There are some people that play sports that are amazing. They're just naturally amazing. And then there's some of those guys that are just not going to make it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because not everybody's equal. That's just the way. Some people are just better than others naturally, you know.
Yeah, I mean, no matter how many guides and shit that you read, you may still not get the damn thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's crazy.
They're teaching stuff like how you read the game. So like how you, because I don't know how the weapon drops are, but maybe there's like a certain set place where there's like there's better weapons, or there's certain places where there's better loot. So how do you place yourself in a position where you can have the best outcomes, like which zones do you drop into, which zones do you avoid, and then from there on in you can kind of like read how other players will be. So like for example, like at the first like 5 minutes is where like most like random kills will happen. So if you play like in this way, then you're guaranteed to go to like the next stage, and then by like the last like 5-10 minutes, then you can assume that guys will be geared up in this way, so hence you need to play against or you play in this sort of way in order to get the advantage over them. So unless they're teaching that, which takes like time to actually get into, which I guess can be bypassed by the training, but even then it's still down to the person to remember all that and execute it, because I see it kind of like how being taught how to play a fighting game. So playing how to turtle, seeing how you can apply pressure to the other person, see how you can read the other person's moves and see when to like defend, when to not defend, when to counter, when to punish. Like, I didn't know any of that until a friend of mine who played tournaments told told me. And then after I was like, okay, cool. Like, now I understand. And then ever since then, I actually like boosted like quite a bit. So if they're teaching like how you can play the game well and effectively, then possibly it may be worth it. But in the grand scheme of things, if you just play over time, you'll naturally get these things. And it's just kind of like a waste of money, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing I
talked about, you could get from YouTube videos.
Yeah, one thing I do need to note is this whole tutoring thing for video games is not a new concept. It's been going on. The thing that makes this unique is that it's kids. Kids don't usually ask for this because they usually don't have money. It's usually adult gamers that ask that pay others to teach them how to play games. That's been going on forever, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is the first time that, or maybe not the first time, but this is the first big public occurrence of it being kids involved, you know, because that doesn't usually happen. You know, because obviously you got to get your parents involved in this shit. It's crazy, man. Interesting. All right. And the last story, this one I threw in here just for fun. So EA is ending its free games on Origin. My question is, who is picking these games up? You know?
I got like three of them. Because like one of them was Crysis 3. And one of them was Need for Speed Most Wanted. Another one was like Battlefield 3 as well. So they had some good ones. They had Dead Space 1 at some point. And yeah, the rest have all just been like weird games in the 80s and 90s that no one really cares about.
Yeah, I think I picked up the Mass Effect games, but that's about it. But I'm like, I don't think, you know, it's like every month they came out. Like, you're right, Brian. It's like, you know, I don't want to play this shit.
There was no buzz. There was no excitement. It was just kind of, it was just games that people either already had or no one had really wanted to play. And I think that was the issue. And of course, everyone just fell out of love with it and goodbye.
Yeah, but my thing is like, okay, so they're taking that away. Are they replacing it with anything?
They're going to replace it with shit.
Yeah, so and then my thing is like, if they took it away, that means people weren't opting for it, right? Is that what it is?
Yep, like, that's exactly what that is. People weren't either. People didn't know about it because, again, it's like we're talking about.
They don't announce it. Yeah.
They don't announce it. People didn't know about it, number one. Number two, or, you know, people aren't people cry and moan about old games, right? But in the end, the crux of everything is usually about what's new and what's whatever, you know. And I think that's where it was. They probably looked at their shit and have been like, you know what, this thing is kind of useless. Nobody's picking these things up because obviously they're not advertising them, and they're just like, you know what, let's just drop it. But I'm sure now people are saying stuff about, oh, I really like that thing.
Yeah. Well, by the way, it looks like I'm a little bit wrong. Some of the guys in the chat, you know, straight, couple is Master Shake, you know, they picked up games off this thing.
Here's the thing. I mean, you know, obviously, the reason why, if this thing was a successful thing, it probably would still exist. And I think that's what the thing is. They're like, okay, we're spending all the server space on something that really only a small amount of people opt into. So they're just like, you know what? Let's just concentrate on the new shit.
Yeah, and this was interesting. This service got dropped before the launch of Origin Access Premier, which is going live soon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing maybe it's just a way of consolidating things. Maybe you'll get games through that service. I'm not sure. You know? But you guys know how I feel about EA Access. I felt that the whole thing was a scam, you know?
It's a scam.
Didn't we talk about this the other day? It was a scam, basically. You don't need that. Just buy the fucking game. You get the game a week early. Who cares? You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, going on some fanboy shit. People were just saying, oh, Tony, you don't like EA Access because it's not a PlayStation. I was like, I have an Xbox and PC. I can get EA Access right now. I just don't think it's a good value, you know?
Nintendo Switch Online is a better value than
this. Shit, you know, for real, man. It's crazy, but yeah, I just wanted to bring it up on my, you know, I didn't think a lot of people were getting these games anyway, you know? But we're going to have to see. I didn't look into the EA, what is this shit? The new thing that's coming out? Oh, it's an investor's call. So it wasn't an official thing yet. So yeah, EA Access Premier. Does anybody know more about this thing? Because I think I just heard about it literally right now as I'm reading this shit. I'm reading this from Polygon, forgive me. EA is launching Origin Access Premier, a new subscription service for Windows PC games from the publisher's Origin Digital Distribution Platform, the company announced. Okay, so what makes this different then?
I think it's just like, instead of like Origin's thing, where it's like, oh, you get some games then, I think it's just like you just get all the EA games as when they come out or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, if you're subscribed to this, you can get Anthem a week beforehand.
It just seems a way for EA to get your money faster, and hence why I don't subscribe to it. Anything that allows EA to get money faster, I don't like. Because they've had a really bad track record of messing up when they do that.
Yeah, so, yeah, pretty much everybody in here doesn't like EA Access. I'm sorry, it's a scam, you know? Yeah, I think that's going to do it for us. Very interesting. Yeah, we don't have anything. Oh, yeah, actually, yeah, I guess we can now say we're on the road to 200. We're going to be at episode 200 in a month. It's going to be crazy, man. We're going to have some special guests. You guys already know who's going to be on already. I don't need to even hide it anymore. It's going to be Torrance and Hip Hop. That's going to be fun.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
You know, we had
an awful special guest on the Rhino.
Yeah.
On our show?
On our show?
An awful special guest from that Rhino-looking guy.
The Rhino-looking guy?
Oh, the Rhino-looking guy. Are you crazy?
Hashtag FTM.
Oh!
Yo, come on, son. Yeah, I'm not going to get into that, but somebody dragged me into another, tried to get me into a fight, but I didn't bite. I'm like, come on, son. It's been 5 years, and you're still on this shit? Come on, bro. You know? But whatever. I'm not, again, not starting any beef, man. That's not my thing. You do your thing, I do my thing, brother. You know? But let me get the graphic. Oh, God. Let me get that shit up there. All right, so thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, Periscope, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. Tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Make sure to watch WrestleCast.
Was that supposed to be Adam?
I was like, let me be spontaneous, and that's what it came up with last
week. We were like, watch Lucha Underground.
Watch Lucha Underground.
And Brian Manjoma.
Let the record be shown that I got 4 platinums last month.
Oh, shit. There we go. Did you get a platinum in Senran Kagura?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Nice. There you go. By the way, who said that in the chat? Somebody said, somebody said, hey, Brian, new game's coming. Damn, I can't scroll up. Piece of shit. Because Restream's being stupid. Anyway, we'll see you guys on Sunday, man. Later.
Laters, everyone.
Later, guys.